ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again. Over and over. Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports pylon studios. Check it. This is WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 270, and like a thousand other internet platforms, including, of course, SportsByline.com. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bumps. Actually, I'm an award-winning writer, and of course, a four-time Golden Glove champion, so supposedly, well, I'm supposed to know something about boxing, but I've always found out that the average fan knows a little bit more. They've got their own insight. So if you'd like to join me here at the top of the hour on the toll-free phone line, I will open it up for you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. If you want to hit me up on the studio text line, you can text us here in the studio. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, there's fights on the zone today, and of course, Fox Sports has got a card as well. We'll talk about that in depth. Looks like Canelo and Caleb Plant is off. September 18th, of course, the big fight, Mexican Independence Day in Las Vegas. Not going to happen, or is it going to happen? Well, not with Caleb Plant. Evidently, Caleb Plant outpriced himself. Good luck on that one, buddy. You can take that belt and go somewhere else and try to sell it. But if you lose, you're not worth a nickel. So the bottom line is you should have took the money. Whatever they were offering you, it was 100 times more than you've ever made in your life. Should have took it, Caleb. Bottom line is you committed a gaffe. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, watching us, of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We're brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check them out, WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But somehow you know there's much more to the trip. What is hip? Tell me. You think you know? What is hip? Check it. 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, wow, and the SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, both live and delayed, and of course, always on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's talk about the Olympics, first of all. You sort of know it was a little bad day in the Olympics when they start off with the fact so-and-so lost. Bottom line is not too many guys are really that good in the amateur ranks here in the United States. Why is that? There's no money invested in the amateur program. If you look at some of the more successful countries, well, Cuba especially, but Cuba, the UK, people like places like that, they invest money. Frank Warren invested like $8 or $9 million, I think, in amateur boxing about 15 years ago, and it paid off for him because he's got all kinds of guys coming up and, of course, ascending from those amateur ranks into the professional ranks. That's how you make pro boxers. Of course, they grow. A seedling, a clone, a seedling. Of course, they become a tree, and before you know it, they are a professional fighter. But you've got to put them through the amateur ranks. If they don't have an amateur background, it's sort of tough to make it in the world of boxing. But straight up, we'll talk about the Olympic results a little bit later. Keyshawn Davis looks like he's looking good, but he's already, just, I want to mention just for a second, he's a lightweight representative of the United States. He's already got 3 professional fights with 2 KOs. Why is he fighting in the amateurs? That's just not fair. And then people say, well, you had a lot of experience when you were fighting in the amateurs. You were fighting guys going up and fighting guys that were like vastly inexperienced compared to you. Maybe, but I wasn't getting paid for it. And I didn't go back and go to the pro ranks and beat up on big guys and then come back, beat up on real guys and come back and fight in the amateurs. Just didn't do it that way. I think that process is wrong. I think the Olympic, spirit of the Olympics has been watered down, to say the least. Speaking of the least, let's go to the most. From the least to the most, let's go to the East Coast and bring in, of course, the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer. Boxing's 2 PhD. And how are you this week, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you feeling?
That's doing just fine. Of course, it looks like the Canelo and Caleb Plant fight is off. Looks like Caleb Plant got a little greedy. They decided to switch his fight from DAZN to some type of pay-per-view in order to make sure Caleb Plant got the money that he wanted, and of course Canelo as well, being the top star in boxing. But now Plant has sort of priced himself out. And when I think about fights getting priced out and guys screwing up, I think of Donald Curry and screwing up and losing at welterweight. I think he lost to Lloyd Hunnigan or something like that. And then, of course, Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis getting knocked out by Oliver McCall. In other words, these super fights that were scheduled never happened because guys got greedy and or had emotional issues, and they were put off.
Yeah, I mean, you may have a point with that, with the, you know, with those other three fights, Curry and Lennox Lewis, you cited. But I just can't wrap my head around somebody turning down more money than he's ever made before. Like, one thing is if you think that you're getting lowballed, but it's not like you're seeing that type of bread, you know? And Caleb Plant, to me, no, first of all, the legitimacy about him being a world champion is in question. I mean, his best win is against who?
Andre Drell.
Caleb Truax and Ustegi. Yeah. I mean, really? And he's a paper champ in a lot of people's eyes. And him turning down, pricing himself out, you know, asking for just enough to get turned down, you know, it's fishy, you know, and it makes you really question the legitimacy of him being a champion, number one. And number two, what does he hold, you know, as most important? And I'm all for all athletes getting as much money as humanly possible, especially in boxing. But, you know, you're turning down more money than you've ever seen, and the chance of making history. I mean, he's basically coming in as a footnote, like the way Bernard Hopkins was on the Felix Trinidad train, you know, and lo and behold, look, something happened, you know. It derailed, you know, Trinidad's immortalness, which he probably would have gotten if he was able to have beaten Bernard Hopkins. And Caleb Plant probably has a longer shot of doing doing that to Canelo than Bernard had against Trinidad. But he's turning away the golden ticket. You know, Willy Wonka gave it to him, and he's like, nah, I'm going to go vegan. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand that.
I'm looking at his record. The best guy he's ever beaten, it wasn't Caleb Truex. It was Jose Uzacatu.
Ustegi, yeah.
Yeah. How do you say his name?
I'm probably going to say it as messed up as you are. But he's a solid fighter, Ustegi. You know,
I can't even get it close to that, man. So Ustegi, we're going to go with that?
Yeah. I mean, his claim to fame, I think, was, didn't he get sucker punched by one of the Durrell's uncles or something after he smacked them up?
Yeah, he beat the Durrell, one of the Durrell brothers, not once but twice.
Yeah, Andre, right?
Yeah. And of course, speaking of Andre Ward's going tonight. I'm Andre Ward. Andre Durrell's going tonight. Of course, he's like 27-3 with 17 KOs. Let me tell you.
No,
a little
I'm
bit.
Sorry. It was Anthony Durrell.
Okay, Anthony Durrell. All right. Yeah. Andre Durrell is going tonight. Of course, Andre Durrell was the guy that Andre Ward decided they were buddies in the 2004 Olympics. So they were both fighting at 165, and Andre Ward said, tell you what, I'll fight at 178. You can fight at 165 so we can both get medals, Andre and Andre. Well, it didn't happen for Andre Durrell at 165, but Andre Ward helps upset all kinds of apple carts when he beat up those bigger guys at 178.
Once again, believing in yourself and taking a chance, you know, for greatness. That's why Andre Ward may not have been the box office star, but true boxing insiders are going to look at him as one of the all-time greats.
Smart. I mean, I think he outthought himself as far as getting a promoter's concern. I think he did the bad move with going. I love Dan Goosen. Before I say, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dan Goosen. I nicknamed him Big Bird. He had an office. He had a picture on his office wall of him choking me with Michael Nunn choking me with him in the background. I mean, so we were really, really, really semi-tight. So I'm not knocking him. But I think that Andre Ward should have probably went with Don King and or Bob Arum when he broke out of the Olympics in 2004. Instead, he sort of went. He sort of went the low road instead of the high road, and I think that sort of shortened his money making ability.
I would agree with that. I mean, and a lot of other people would probably agree to that also. Dan, very nice guy. He was very nice, cordial every time I was around him. but he wasn't the big leagues compared to Top Rank. And although, you know, Don is, you're doing, you know, the deal with the devil, so to speak, but definitely he knows how to make a name of a fighter. And with Andre Ward, he would have, I'm not saying he would have been, Sugar Ray Leonard or Oscar De La Hoya, but he certainly would have capitalized off of that gold medal.
You know, one of the Goosen kids, I can't remember, actually, I don't want to name him. One of the Goosen kids, Dan's son, really took issue with me because I called his father Big Bird. And he thought I was making fun of him like he was like in the Sesame Street cartoon. And I wasn't. Is that he was head of the Goosen flock. There was like 9 of them. And he was the head of it. So he is like Big Bird, the Big Bird in the Goosen flock. You know what I'm saying? But the kid got ticked off about it. Finally, I had to tell him where to go. Dan didn't have a problem. Dan didn't have a problem, and the kid had a problem with it.
And Dan had to be over 6 feet, right?
I mean, yeah, he was a tall guy. He was a big bird. Wasn't an athletic guy. He was just a big guy. You know, I remember when he was doing his tricks with America Presents and Matt Tinley in Colorado. That he did that for a while, and of course, that's where he signed David Reed coming out of the 1996 Olympics. David Reed was a flop. To an extent, is that a fair assumption for me to say that David Reed was a flop as a professional? He did win a title.
He did win a title, and he was involved in one of the best fights of the decade, him and Trinidad. I think he was handicapped, you know, he got them, you know, with his eye. Who knows if he doesn't have that, ailment. I remember him he had that Olympic moment when he beat the Cuban. You know, I think it's a little harsh. I think David Reed got the most out of what his body was going to give him. And he was never the same after the Trinidad fight. And it was a tremendous back and forth fight.
You know, I worked a lot with him in his developmental stages. He didn't have that many fights. I think he only had about 15, 18 fights. But, in the early on, in the prelim stages, he was a wonderful guy to be around, and it was tough with the eye injury. And we're describing something on the radio and or, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA video channel. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when I talk about the eye, is that one eye was like partially shut. And it was just, that was like a permanent fixture. And I think they tried to get surgery on it. It didn't work, this and that. So that's why they rushed him into the fight with Trinidad. They would have actually, much like Fernando Vargas, rushed him into the Trinidad fight because of timing and money. In other words, they didn't think that his eye would hold up for a couple more fights. They didn't think Vargas could stay out of jail for a couple more fights.
That's right. Spot on. You're right on, Pedro. There was definitely concerns about Fernando at some point in his life. Very immature. I remember he had an incident he almost got locked up for beating up, I don't know, an ex-boyfriend of his now wife or something to that extent. You have to, it's like when you're at the blackjack table, you got to know when to hit and when to go. And those are wise moves by those promoters, you know. Fernando basically got old overnight, and, you know, but once again, he was that fight against Trinidad again. Wow, there's like the third reference, one of the best fights of the era.
You know, he
survived that first round.
Yeah, his downfall was ketchup. He put ketchup on everything. He loved ketchup. I mean, he just loved ketchup. Actually, I was looking at a film the other day, and I don't know if I was Fernando Vargas, I'd be putting this on YouTube. In fact, I think I'd like to ban it if I was Fernando Vargas Sr. It's that videotape of Fernando Vargas Jr. thinking he's like, I don't know, beyond Cassius Clay. He's fighting guys that like, I'm telling you, the guys that Fernando Vargas Jr. are fighting, it looks like you went into an office building and got this guy out of an office building and put boxing gloves on him, except he's got a brown face. So he might have been a janitor.
You know, he's got two boys that are boxing. I think two have turned pro. They, you know, only time will tell. You know,
I'm going to go on the record right now because Hector and I are going on the record together, okay? Fernando Vargas Jr. should be arrested for impersonating a Vargas. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back with boxing's PhD, Soccer News Bomber, after the break. Live, of course, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Cause I'm sick and tired of you trying to tell me what's wrong and what's right.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Change your style. Ain't gonna be no more
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Speaking of WBC, the president of the World Boxing Council, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. Yeah, I got that straight. I didn't say Jose. Mauricio Sulaiman will be on tomorrow's show, the first hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, or 1 p.m. in Mexico City. That's when it's vital as far as getting him on the air, because he's coming to us from Mexico City. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. I may repeat myself here, but the USA secured its first medal in Deontay Johnson, grabbing a welterweight medal. Looks like he's going to get a bronze by being routed. He lost to Cuban Ronnie Iglesias. I think he was a 2012 Olympic gold medalist or a 2016 Olympic gold medalist. Anyway, bottom line is the Olympics are rocking and rolling. And guess who wants to come back? Let me mention this. I think it was, September 2004. I'm in Oklahoma, Shawnee, Oklahoma. I'm doing this fight on an Indian reservation at a casino, I think, like that. Tony Holden said he wasn't involved, although I thought he hired me. Anyway, bottom line is Riddick Bowe was going to take on Marcus Rohde. Marcus Rohde was a guy that would fight people with HIV. He would go across the pond. Marcus Rohde would do anything for a buck. And he couldn't fight much anyway, but he was tough. So anyway, they have this main event, and Riddick Bowe, the former heavyweight champion of the world, is in one side of the ring, and he didn't show up at the weigh-in. Okay, first of all, that was a bad sign. He didn't show up at the weigh-in. And then he had this robe on, and he had these big old cheeks, and he looked really fat. I mean, I'm just trying to be, he really, really looked fat. So I didn't get his weight. So I had to wait to the other guy. You know, I'm sitting there, the ring announcer, and I'm looking it down at Robert Middleman, who the New York City booking agent, matchmaker, was sitting there ringside. I remember him. I'm looking down at it, and I said, I don't have his weight. So I'll go over and ask Riddick Bowe for his weight. So I go over and ask Riddick Bowe for his weight. He goes, tell people, 251. I said, 251? So I'm saying to myself, this guy doesn't weigh 251. I said, the right side of his body might weigh 251. He's like close to 300 pounds, if not more. Bottom line is, he was around 285, 288. We never got his official weight. He did meet Marcus Rohde in the second round, as was predicted. And now he wants to come back and do an exhibition. Evidently, him and Paulie Malignaggi, the former Showtime boxing announcer, of course, the junior welterweight champion, a kid that came to stardom on this show as far as his oratory skills are concerned. He wants to make a comeback as well. We've got Oscar De La Fishnets making a comeback, of course, against Vitor Belfort. And, of course, the saying on the show is size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. I got to ask you this, Socrates. Vitor Belfort is a big, big dude, and Anderson Silva beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. basically by size about a month ago. Same thing.
Yeah, but, there's a discipline and a skills difference between Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Oscar De La Hoya. But you're right. Vito is the naturally bigger guy. He is physically strong. Let's see what happens, when you put gloves on and if he has the stamina that it takes to chase Oscar around, because that's what I figure. Oscar's going to be on his bike most of the time, but those are 40-something-year-old legs. So it's going to be interesting when Oscar has to plant down and actually fight this guy and see if his reaction, because I'm sure that Oscar's fought far better competition throughout his life, but not at this stage in his life.
Belfort's 44. Oscar's 52.
Wow. He's already 50. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, 1992 Olympic gold medalist. That was, 30 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. It's, let's see. One thing is to be in shape, and then the other thing is to be in condition. There's way two different things. One thing is to look nice in your clothes, when you go out on a Saturday night, but to step into a ring and keep your hands up for 3 minutes and not get hurt is a totally different ball game. Oscar's ego is very large. It's probably the only thing bigger than his bank account. We just hope he doesn't get hurt.
Well, or his collection of panties.
Ouch.
Well, come on. Listen. I wouldn't say anything that's not factual on the air. Believe me, I wouldn't. Especially with Oscar De La Hoya, who I respect greatly as a fighter. And he's a pretty good father and a husband, that kind of good stuff. I guess. I don't know. I get into his personal life. But the bottom line is, he did get caught wearing some, skimpy clothing that is usually, worn by the opposite sex. Did I say that right?
I think you really gave the audience a good picture in their mind. Yes. A picture's worth 1,000 words, right?
Okay, Delaware hasn't been around since, like, I guess 2008 when Manny Pacquiao ran him into the ground. Speaking of Manny Pacquiao, he and Errol Spence getting ready to make it a real deal, no doubt about that. Of course, Errol Spence still the betting favorite. Manny Pacquiao still in the minds of so many people. You know, I was talking with Hector and a couple of people over the weekend, last weekend, we were talking boxing. And the bottom line is, it would be great, 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 absolutely great for the game if Manny Pacquiao won. But he's probably not gonna, is he?
Yeah, I mean, if you're rooting for Manny Pacquiao, like I am, I'll be very honest with you. You know, I try to be objective on these airwaves, but out of nostalgia, I will be rooting for the old man. But of course it'll be tremendous for the sport. I mean, because Manny Pacquiao is still a global star, something that Errol Spence isn't. And if Errol Spence wins, how much does it do for his career? You know, okay, he beat an old Manny Pacquiao, so people are going to say, you know, and especially if he wins and doesn't stop Manny Pacquiao, I mean, why wouldn't any other top welterweight line up at the door, say, let me get a shot at this guy, you know? So I think Errol Spence has everything to lose in this fight. You know, Manny's playing with house money, you know, and yeah, he has been knocked out viciously once before by Raul Marquez. I don't know if that's going to happen, you know, because Errol Spence doesn't have that type of punching power. He's a physically big guy. He's going to come in, I'm sure, with a mindset that I'm going to walk this guy down. But what's going to happen when he sees hand speed that he's never seen before? That's what people don't understand. Well, I'm sure they do understand, but Manny Pacquiao's hand speed at this age is still elite. And he comes jumping around from all angles. Yeah, he could get caught, you know, and fall flat in his face like he did against Marquez, but I don't think Errol Spence is as good as Marquez, and I still have doubts of Errol Spence's body recovering from that horrific car accident that he suffered, because he basically had a glorified sparring session against Danny Garcia, who had no intent of winning that fight, you know, so this is going to be his first real fight in a couple of years, probably since the Porter fight.
Not only is Pacquiao going to be fast, it's opposite speed. What I mean by opposite is you train your entire life for an orthodox fighter for the most part. That's who you spar in the gym. And even if you spend some time with left-handers, and I did, having done some left-handed boxing myself, you never really get used to it. But the bottom line is Manny's that left-handed stance. He can just shoot shots from different angles, little uppercuts, this and that. And if Spence leaves his chin out there, good night, good night.
And he's a physically strong dude. He's short, but he's compact strength. I mean, he's got calves as big as heavyweights. If anyone's ever seen Manny Pacquiao in person, he's a strong guy. And yeah, he hasn't fought in a while, but you know what? When you're older, less is more. You know, you give your body a chance to heal itself properly and the muscle memory and also the experience of being in the spotlight is an intangible that helps the older fighter. I mean, I'm thinking back of some of the older guys that have upset young and up and comers, Duran against Barkley, Larry Holmes against, Ray Mercer. It can happen.
You know what Iran Barkley's told me when I met him?
What?
I said, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm with Flash Magazine. He says, although my name is Iran, I never did.
The Blade,
Period.
Yes.
I was like, oh, you just knocked out Tommy Ernst. Anyway, all the best. You have a great week. Say hello to the family. We really appreciate your time here, sir.
I appreciate you having me on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir.
Boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, features Saturday on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Speaking of WBC, we'll have the president of the World Boxing Council in tomorrow's show. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and of course, live on Sports Byline USA's Twitch channel, twitch.tv. This is Ring Talk.
Come on over here, man. He been here before. He done broke records here before. He's a legend of the sport. And it'd be my honor to fight him next.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Why does everybody want to fight Manny Pacquiao? Size matters. You're, like, bigger than him, and you're younger than him, and you got better reflexes than him. You think this and that. Bottom line is you think Manny Pacquiao is lunch meat. Good luck on that one, Errol Spence. Of course, that fight comes up in a couple of weeks. Tonight, Andre Durell versus Christopher Brooker. Brooker's like 16-7, not much of a foe as far as his record is concerned. Andre Durell, of course, a former champion, a 1996 Olympian. I talked about that earlier in the show. That's Fox Sports 1 later tonight. On DAZN, Zhu Kan versus Lee Wood for the WBA 126-pound title. Of course, this fight's coming to us from the Olympics. That's going to go through August the 8th. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, who the top prospects were, who was left here as far as the USA was concerned. And in Fox Sports, PBS has got a card on Fox Sports tonight. It's going to be Michael Coffey is like 12-0 with 9 knockouts, taking on Jonathan Rice. I think Rice is like 13-6 with a draw and 9 KOs. Not saying Rice is a inferior fighter or anything like that, but I don't know if you want to put a guy in line. All right, the guy's only got 12 fights, Michael Coffey, but Coffey's being thought of as some future prospect, some heavyweight sensation. I mean, they were going to put him in there with Gerald Washington, the former Marine. I think Coffey might be as far as former Marine is concerned, but Washington was a former Marine, like 39 years old, former cruiserweight champion. Yeah, what was the big thing in beating him? But the bottom line is, I guess they're trying to build this kid up. Good luck on that. Well, Michael Coffey and Jonathan Rice on, of course, DAZN a little bit later. And next week, actually August the 3rd, on the Fight Network, Michael Hunter, Mike the Bounty Hunter, of course, I'm talking about the son of the original Mike the Bounty Hunter, to take on Mike Wilson in a WBA heavyweight eliminator. If he's anything like his father, he's unpredictable. I mean, his father and I did some televised a couple of his fights. One of them, at least in Irvine, California. And then we went to Beijing, China, I think the first time, and he blew his knee out and sparring or something like that. And all kinds of crazy stuff happened. Anyway, Mike the Bounty Hunter was the most unpredictable guy you've ever been in a ring with in your entire life. You could never predict what he was going to do. This is the way it is. As far as the rest of his prospects on the Olympic team was concerned, Richard Torres Jr., super heavyweight, big old Mexican dude. He's supposed to be the top prospect as far as the heavyweights are concerned, the super heavyweights in the Olympics are concerned for the United States. The women's boxing has got a female welterweight named O'Shea Jones. Wish her the very best of luck. And a featherweight by the name of Duke Reagan. Of course, featherweights in the world of amateurs, 125 pounds. We had the U.S. amateur champion on last week. Of course, C.V. Johnson, he was in here with Eddie Croft, Primetime Eddie Croft. And at Primetime Eddie Croft, of course, runs the B Street Boxing Gym down there in San Mateo, California. And I think of C.V. Johnson, although he's an amateur, you know, some guys you can see as an amateur, and they've got the discipline, and they've got the discipline early on. And they've got the discipline and the ability to make things happen, okay? And then you say to yourself, wow, you know, maybe this is the guy you want to invest money in. This guy's going to be the future. This and a lot of times, they blow up in your face. They just do. Emmanuel Stewart had a kid that he put all kinds of money. He might have donated, might have dumped like close to $1 million in. I won't put his name out on the air, but dumped almost $1 million into him, and so the kid flopped as a pro. So it's just, you know, you never tell what's going to happen from an amateur to a pro. But Stevie Johnson, he's got to go on as far as his attitude is concerned. And speaking of COVID, COVID's got an attitude, of course, coming back here in the United States stronger than boxing, anything else. COVID KO'd the Conor Benn fight. That was supposed to be today, I believe, on DAZN against Adrian Granado. So it's Conor Benn, the son of former super middleweight champion Nigel Benn, the Dark Destroyer. Dark Destroyer is a bad dude, no doubt about that. He was worthy of that Dark Destroyer tag. He just was. Everybody he hit just about fell down. And you know, I mean, he was a hell of a fighter, no doubt about that. But the kid, always tough for a kid, much like Tim Zhu, the son of Kasha Zhu, or Evan Fields. Oh, not Evan Fields. That was his nick. That was Evander Holyfield's alias when he ordered those steroids. Remember from FedEx when he said, Evan Fields? Hey, you look like Evander Holyfield. Can I take a picture with you? FedEx driver said to Evander Holyfield. And he said, oh, okay. So he takes a picture with him. This is a guy that just delivered your steroids from the designer pharmacy or something like that. I forget what pharmacy it was. Anyway, now Holyfield's kid, Evan Holyfield. Okay, he's fighting. Of course, he's still undefeated, but he's fighting a lot of guys that are... You know, listen, I'm in for setting guys up. I mean, I understand that. You've got to, like, make guys, especially guys with limited amateur backgrounds, you got to teach them how to fight on the job. If that's the case, you go get Mike Akery. Of course, Mike Akery passed away a few months ago, but he was the Erie, Pennsylvania matchmaker, promoter, booking agent, call him what you want. But Mike found these guys, like, he gets Scott Cuddy, makes Scott Cuddy 18-0 with like 17 knockouts. He could just come up with these guys, you would not believe it. My mind was blown by the guys that Mike Akery can come up with. And of course, what I'm trying to say is, although the guys couldn't fight all that much, they had the decent record, so it resembles some type of, of reality. You hear what I'm saying? But when you watch these guys going on and taking guys like Fernando Vargas's kid, taking on guys that couldn't lick a stamp if you wet their tongue, that's not good for the sport. This is not good for the sport. I mean, yeah, he's growing, and yeah, he won and got a win. He went down to Mexico to get that last win, but come on, man, that was a bit of a waste, no doubt about that. As far as upcoming major fights are concerned, of course, it's going to be Manny Pacquiao. That's going to be it, no doubt about it. Of course, Teofimo Lopez was going to go August 14th. Now that looks like that's postponed, so that's not going to happen either. Of course, that was rescheduled from in June 19th, I believe, was supposed to go down, and somebody tested positive for Tio and his team, tested positive for COVID or something like that. Anyway, the Kambosos fight was off, and now it's scheduled for August 14th. That's been delayed as well. So August 21st, Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao, the aforementioned battle for the WBC and IBF welterweight titles, that's going to go down. That's going to be a good matchup, no doubt about that. And I would say to yourself, Manny Pacquiao's worth, even at 41 years old, he's worth spending money on as far as pay-per-view is concerned, because, you know, he talked about it in real, that little clip coming in here. He will give his all. Manny Pacquiao will give his all. You will have to drill Manny Pacquiao into the canvas, much like, Juan Manuel Marquez did with that one punch. And of course, coming from behind, Marquez was about to get killed, and he came back, bob, boom, Manny Pacquiao went to sleep. Of course, Marquez, Hector makes light of what Larry Merchant said about Juan Manuel Marquez for that fight. He had new muscles. Yeah, new muscles. Anyway, August 28th, David Benavidez, the star, I think, what is he, like 24 and zip? Now, yeah, come to us, WBC former super middleweight champion. Of course, he is the heir apparent, possibly to greatness with Canelo Alvarez, or maybe he's too soon, but the bottom line is he's 24-0, and he's taking on the aforementioned spoiler, twice beaten Jose Uzucatay. Yeah, to put it to you like that. WBC super middleweight limber, that's August 28th on Showtime. August 29th, back on pay-per-view. Are you ready for this, folks? Are you ready to spend some money on pay-per-view? I hope maybe not here. Jake Paul. Jake Paul is a guy that sort of looks like Uncle Fester. Sort of reminds me of Uncle Fester, the Adams family. That's about how good he could fight, too. He couldn't win the Golden Gloves here if you stacked the deck for him. Okay, he'd have a hard problem. He'd have a hard time winning the Golden Gloves. But yet, he's 3-0, like three knockouts, something like that. As far as he's beating up guys like, you know, Ben Askren, never had a fight in his life as far as boxing was concerned. Ben Askren was a wrestler whose claim to fame was getting knocked out in less than 15 seconds by Jorge Masvidal in a UFC event. So that was Askren's claim to fame before he fought Jake Paul. So now Jake Paul's going to go with, guess who? Tyrone Woodley, former welterweight champion of the UFC, says he has a boxing background. Yeah, boxing apples or shoes or something like that, but not as far as a boxer is per se concerned. And the bottom line is these guys think, well, you know, I did the MMA thing. Man, two different worlds. The absolutely two different worlds. You could not get, well, maybe I was the exception to the rule, but you can't get an average boxer to, like, convert and be a street fighter or an MMA fighter. And of course, he did that before he became boxing. Yours truly, that's what I sort of did. But the bottom line is, you know, they're different breeds. They're different. It's two different worlds, like a violin player and a drummer almost. Two different worlds. I mean, yeah, there's some combination. Similarities in the fact there's punches thrown, this and that. But the MMA world, of course, we'll talk about that in depth right here. The fact that UFC's got a UFC 289 or 265 next week. Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane is an undefeated guy, 13-0 with like 9 or 10 knockouts. Derek Lewis, 24-7, I believe, is a heavyweight. But the bottom line is you look at the rest of the UFC schedule, and there's no stars there. Of course, John Jones, the heir apparent to possible heavyweight greatness, a guy that probably could beat. I don't know if he could beat. That would be a hell of a fight. Francis Ngannou against John Jones. And I would give John Jones a good chance because John Jones is a good boxer and he moves his hands pretty good. But I think Francis Ngannou might be unbeatable, both in the world of boxing and the world of mixed martial arts. Now, why do I say that? Because he can punch. He can punch harder than anybody else. I think he can punch through your guard. That's how hard I think he can punch. Of course, they've measured him on that machine down there at the Performance Center for the UFC has there in Las Vegas, there, or Paradise, Nevada, whatever they want to call it down there. But the bottom line is, nobody hits harder than him. Nobody. And I think he makes the crossover because he was a boxer before he went to the world of the UFC. So in other words, he's got his game together. In fact, that's what he thought when he was going to beat Stipe Miocic the first time around, was just being a boxer. He thought he'd go out there and knock Miocic out. Well, he banged Miocic up, the former champion, in the first round, but he didn't bang him up after that point, because after that point he was gassed. And of course he gassed second, third, fourth, fifth round, and Miocic ended up winning a 5-round decision. Of course, the rematch was a mismatch. Shouldn't have been in there. We're talking about a guy with 35 or 40 pounds on the champion. And size matters in two things. So why do heavyweight fights? I'm going to get on this again. Of course, the WBC, my man Mauricio Sulaiman coming up with his 224-pound weight class, which I think is great because heavyweights are just too big. In fact, eventually, we may have to come up with another weight class. I mean, guys, if they keep getting bigger, I mean, 6'7", 270 pounds, 6'7", Tyson Fury, 6'9", 270 pounds, 260 pounds, 260. I mean, come on. Lennox Lewis, I can go on. He was sort of like the first of the big, big guys. Of course, he was successful in being the Olympic gold medalist. You got to give Lennox some props. He didn't have too many disgraceful fights. And when he had that call from Christ with that Vitaly Klitschko fight down there in L.A., and he barely won. I think Klitschko was stopped on cuts. And Lennox was in the corner. Lennox said, you know, when it's time to bow out, no doubt about that. And Lennox was a class act of the game. I mean, a gold medalist, he beat Riddick Bowe, pounced on Riddick Bowe. Riddick Bowe, of course, we're talking about him a little earlier, wanting to come back and make a series of exhibitions. Something happened to that guy. I don't know if he got hit in the head when he went to visit the Pope or whatever it was, but he ended up getting a kitchen in his bedroom. He had a kitchen installed in his bedroom. He had a home. I forget where it was, what state it was in. But he had a kitchen business built in his bedroom. Here was a guy with an eating disorder with a kitchen in his bedroom. I mean, he was too lazy to go downstairs and eat. And I put him on the spot here on the show. Said, man, did you really build a kitchen in your bedroom? Yeah, man, that way I got to go downstairs. That's what he said. That way I ain't got to go downstairs. So you really think this guy's going to be able to, like, 45, 50 years old, we're going to put on credible exhibitions at almost 300 pounds? Whoever's putting that money together, they should be arrested for impersonating a promoter. Because the bottom line is Riddick Bowe doesn't belong nowhere near a boxing ring unless he's taking a picture with somebody. This is the way it is. As far as the UFC is concerned tonight, they've got a card coming to us from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. It'll be on ESPN. I think Uriah Hall is going to be the main event. Let me check this as far as this thing is so slow, the internet around here. Is it Uriah Hall? Yeah, Uriah Hall in the main event against Sean Strickland. That should be a good bout at middleweight, 185. And women's strawweight bout by the lady by the name of Shirell Baez taking on Gloria De Paulo. Of course, we're going to go to 115 pounds. Welterweights, Brian Barberina taking on Jason Witt. Outside of that, I don't know anybody else on the card. Of course, the UFC is hurting for stars. I'm looking for the upcoming schedule. And there's no Francis Ngannou on the schedule. And that's only the guy I really want to see in the UFC. There's no Khabib on the schedule. There's no John Jones on the schedule. Of course, UFC 268 coming up September 25th. The return of, he was the prodigy at one point in time. I really thought he was going to be the heir apparent to superstar as far as the world of mixed martial arts, both in and out of the ring. I thought he was going to be like Oscar De La Hoya, the Olympic gold medalist, the pretty boy from L.A. I'm talking about Brian Ortega. Of course, he once beaten featherweight, 145-pounder, to take on Alexander Volkanovski. But he had that fight with Max Ortega a couple of years ago, and it was the most brutal fight I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that he was destroyed after the first or second round, and they let it go another two rounds, I thought they just took time off Brian Ortega's clock. He will never be the same, in my opinion. Against Volkanovski, it's a toss. Flip the coin. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Don't forget the interactive WBC website is WBCBoxing.com. Ring Talk, more after the break. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline. Okay, looking at the Twitch chat here, let's check this out. Get your money. Main event, Matt says, gotta be hopeful to get your money's worth out of course, the coming pay-per-views. Robert Guerrero versus Victor Ortiz, two has-beens, are gonna be the co-feature for Manny Pacquiao and Earl Spence. Yeah, the days of mega cards are probably over. Of course, that was with Don King. Speaking of Don King, somebody mentioned here, Rob Hernandez mentions that, of course, the greatest fight maybe of all time, the greatest fight that Harold Lederman ever scored as a judge, the recently departed Harold Lederman, of course, the HBO icon, that Lupe Pintor versus Wilfredo Gomez fight from 1984. Of course, that was the undercard of Tommy Hearns and Wilfred Benitez. That main event sort of sucked. Bottom line is, that's the way it was. Anyway, that's the boys as far as the Victor Ortiz, Rob. Those are the guys on Twitch.tv. I want to mention those guys coming, of course, come to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Now, tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, August 1st, 2021, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii, and 1 o'clock in Mexico City. We hope to bring on the World Boxing Council President, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman, and Alex Ariza. Alex Ariza is like this wonder kid. I mean, this trainer. He trained Manny Pacquiao. He trained Floyd Mayweather. He trained all these guys. Made a lot of money, a superstar. I don't remember him losing too many fights. Bottom line is, we hope to have Alex Ariza tomorrow talking about Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao. Of course, the upcoming Super Bout of August 2021. My name is Pedro Fernandez. That guy singing in the background is the great Lenny Williams from Tower of Power. Of course, it means it is so very hard to go. I want to mention this. Lenny Williams is available at LennyWilliams.com. Tower of Power is available with their new cuts, their new album drops. Bottom line is at TowerofPower.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Till next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide 24-7 on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, iHeartRadio, and SiriusXM Satellite Radio. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Thank you so much. Yeah!